Welcome to the MMA Roadshow, episode number 296. It's a special Thanksgiving Day edition. My name is John Morgan. Cold coffee is with me, and
ho ho ho. Oh,
that's the wrong holiday, sir.
Oh, darn it.
Gobble gobble gobble, I guess.
Gobble gobble gobble.
But then you kill the turkey, so why would anybody want to celebrate the turkey?
I'm out of here. Gobble gobble gobble.
Special Thanksgiving Day edition. I feel like on years past. I mean, by the way, 296 consecutive weeks. We have never missed a single week. So, I mean, obviously, we've always done Thanksgiving Day editions, but I feel like in the past, we kind of got together like on Wednesday night and knocked them out or something.
Yeah, I feel like we've done a Thanksgiving, I feel like, before. I feel like I know we did it here once before or twice, I think.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Let's say here. It's a special edition, my friend. Not only is it special in the fact that we're getting together on Thanksgiving, but Cole Coffee actually got into his car and left the Casa de Cold Coffee. I mean, it takes a
compound
while to get outside of the expansive grounds and to get past all the security
so
and everything.
So many gates. Open up the gates.
And then the staff frustrated because, yeah, they've got to operate all this stuff to get you over there, just out to the main road. And then and then obviously the long haul all the way to the outskirts
of Las Vegas.
The
vineyards and the wine, you know, and the apple orchards.
He's made it down here to the humble Morgan Abode. And I will say, even though Cold Coffee likes to give me some crap for living way out there, it's not way out there. It's like 15 minutes from
the house. Did I tell you I almost fell asleep driving down here?
It's not my fault you can't stay away for 15 minutes, bro. It's a 15-minute drive, and most of it's highway. I do actually live in the outskirts. Like, if you look outside of my back window, you can see like the mountains right there. Literally like the very outskirts. But however, while also being on the outskirts, still just 15 minutes from Cold Coffee's house. But
it is
made it down here today.
It is lovely out here, and the weather is really, really nice. It's very, very sunny. A sunny Thursday. I did like an early Thanksgiving yesterday, and it was very warm, windy, and sort of gray yesterday.
Right.
But the weather today is beautiful.
Nice sunshine
outside.
Feels
very, very nice. It was a nice day for a drive.
Beautiful day.
Drive out into the desert.
Lengthy drive. We were going to do Texas Day Brazil. We're going to take it easy this year. And my wife was just wanting to pick up some Texas Day Brazil. But I think it's because of all the shutdown orders and everything. They were doing special pickups today.
Yeah.
But then they were changing the rules and everything, so they were being a little sketchy on the phone, is what I'm trying to tell you.
I think a lot of them too, even and for other people, I don't know where you guys are at, but here in Vegas, they just cut restrictions even more.
Yeah.
So I can imagine any sort of restaurant is probably just wondering what the heck is going on right now. So I'm sure it backed them up. But dude, I was super stoked because I love some Texas Day Brazil. Mm. I love me some churrascaria.
It's been a while since you had some Texas Day Brazil.
Oh, my Lord.
I know. But not to disappoint. Not to disappoint. I did. I went by the butcher block. I picked up some USDA Grade A Prime ribeyes. We're going to put them out on the pellet grill that my dad bought for me as an early gift.
See, I'm normally just get the supermarket, and that's just choice, but that's still good.
Oh, no, we're going prime, baby. We're not doing that turkey, baby. We're going prime ribeyes. And by the way, my wife was also equally disappointed, but her biggest thing, she wanted some pao de queijo, man. She loves the cheesy bread.
Oh,
I found some. Now, it's a frozen product, but at the grocery store, there was some frozen pao de queijo, so I'm going to throw those in the oven, see how they come out.
Whoa.
So we get maybe a little.
Pao. Pao de queijo.
Oh, back in the day when we used to actually travel and go to Brazil and stuff. Those are the days. Well, listen, it is Thanksgiving Day, as always. We sit down on a Thursday, and happy Thanksgiving to everybody. I know that it's not the easiest year for anybody to give thanks. For cold coffee, I imagine not a whole lot of thanks just being issued out there for all the blessings coming your way. But hey, we're here. We're friends.
Yes.
We're hanging out. We're enjoying an award-winning Pass Blue Ribbon, as you do. I mean, is this
Tall Boys?
It doesn't get any better than this. I mean, look at this. This is classic right here. We got the Detroit Lions on the TV here. I remember.
Did you watch the Macy's Day Parade as well?
I didn't watch the parade,
so I
didn't go that traditional. I did see there was a rock float this year in the parade. I don't know if that. Maybe
I didn't pay most attention. I mean, I watched it for a little bit and had off to the side, but I thought about that. And I was like, is it the age or where I'm at? I remember as a kid watching the Macy's Day Parade. You know, and with the way that the economy is going, who knows how long the Macy's Day parades are even going to last.
So
because
true.
Macy's has had a lot of issues in the past
few
years. But they did it again. This is like the 99th Macy's Day Parade or something along those lines. But yeah, there was something about watching it that just reminds you, makes you feel like this time of the year. You know, you're seeing the floats, you're seeing the music, the game's on. You know, there's always the Lions or somebody.
It's always the Lions in the early game, and obviously being born and raised in Dallas, the Cowboys are coming up next, and the long-standing Cowboys versus football club rivalry. Yeah. But the Cowboys. It was the Cowboys and Redskins always on Thanksgiving Day. But man, I always remember as a kid. Waking up in the morning, going to a family's house, and watching Barry Sanders in the morning. I loved watching the Lions game because I loved watching Barry Sanders, man. If anybody is about the same age as us, man, I'm sure they'll remember as a kid watching Barry, man, one of the greatest to ever do it. And then we get to watch the Cowboys.
For those of you that don't know who he is, look him up. He was pretty good in his time.
For those of you that are not as old as us as we are, Barry Sanders was an awesome
Barry Sanders character you're talking about.
So, yeah, it does feel good, man. So, a Pabst Blue Ribbon. Little Lions football. I can pretend like it's Barry Sanders, even though it's not. I've watched so little football this year. It might be Barry Sanders, and I wouldn't know.
Right? It's crazy. Yeah, there are some really, really incredible players. It's just what a crazy year, even with the football thing, because with the way the COVID redoing the schedules and having the games all throughout the week, I was kind of joking yesterday. And I was like, there's got to be football or a game or something. You know, I was like, just because there's –
It feels like every day.
It feels like every day there's a football game, and it's just
crazy.
The
game tonight got moved. So, I mean, it's weird, man. It's been hard to follow. Now, of course, anybody that follows football will know that the Cowboys season is absolutely awful this year. So, that may be one less reason for me to follow it. But it does seem like it's been kind of hard to follow this year with all the shifting around and moving. And
for those of you that look at other sports outside of MMA, that is.
Yeah, well, I don't do much of that anymore. I'll admit MMA has taken over. Let's talk about MMA. Since last week, it's been made official. We knew it was going to happen, but Deiveson Figueiredo will be going to battle for his title once again at UFC 256. Did you see the video of him getting the 50 G's in cash from Dana White?
No, I did not.
Oh, man. I think it was through his manager's Instagram feed. I can't remember where I saw it on social media yesterday, but basically –
Did somebody yell out 50 G's,
baby? Nobody yelled out 50 G's, as you would expect. I mean, that's what you got to do. But, you know, he was pretty upset that he didn't get a performance bonus on that night. And I'll be honest, I thought he deserved one as well at UFC 255. Man, that was phenomenal to defend your belt in the first round. And then he says, look, if I'm going to fight Brandon Moreno at UFC 256, Dana White's going to have to come correct and give me my 50 G's. And he did, and he gave it to him in cash. Dude, just stacks of $10,000, like
interesting.
50 G's. So Dana White made it right, and we get Deiveson Figueiredo versus Brandon Moreno in the main event, UFC 256. And we kind of had a little talk about it, and I want to get your opinion on this because we talked about it on Spinning Back Click this past week. It was a topic. And I thought some of the guys, and I've heard other people echo the same concern, are saying that maybe this is a bad thing or, you know, a difficult thing for these guys to turn it around so quick, you know, just 3 weeks in between fights. And, you know, is this a fair representation of a fight? And is this a fair representation of a title fight that they're only getting 3 weeks to get ready for it? And I got to be honest, man, I thought this was a win-win for both guys. Now, for the UFC needs it, right? I mean, they lost Peter Yan versus Aljamain Sterling. Of course, they had already lost the Amanda Nunes fight as well with Megan Anderson. So they had started with two title fights. Now they're down to none. It's a pay-per-view. They need a title fight. So this flyweight gift kind of falls in their lap that they can put this together on short notice because both guys fought under a round, right?
Yep.
But to me, I think it's positive all around. And maybe I'm wrong, so I want to get your take on it because I felt like I was the only one in this boat. I think this is a win-win for everybody involved. You know, Deiveson, we know his weight cuts aren't easy, so I've heard a lot of people say, well, what about the back-to-back weight cuts? But to me, the back-to-back –
just got to stay fit.
That's it, and you've only got 3 weeks. So, you know, you're coming right off of it.
Yep.
You barely fought at all. I mean, he certainly took no damage the way that fight played out. Brandon Moreno was in a little bit more of a fight, but he was pretty dominant in that one round as well. So, to me – I don't know, man. I see, honestly, no negatives. I think these guys are both going to be in peak form, and they're going to be top of mind for fans because they just fought. You know what I mean? So when you build that momentum, I think the winner comes out of this either way with a lot of forward momentum, whether it be Moreno winning the belt or whether it be Figueiredo defending the belt. I think somebody comes out with a lot of momentum.
I agree completely. And you're right. It'd be different if both of these guys had fought in harder fights that particular evening, but both guys were in the post-fight presser like – get me something now. Yeah. Like, give me something now. Brandon was chomping at the bit for another fight or for the opportunity to kind of step in there. Davison looked like he hadn't even been into a fight. I mean, that dude is a beast. And he even said that, leading into it, that he had spent some money to try to work with a nutritionist, try to, like, take care of himself. So right. I think instead of just like, okay, you know, go back, do your thing, then we'll get the nutritionist, and then we'll revisit for the next fight. I think it's just a matter of just staying in check with that person, say, okay, let's where we're at. Okay, we're going to give you a little bit of time off to let your body recoup, but then let's get right back into it. You know, if either one of these guys had shown a little bit more damage, then maybe I would be a little bit wary, but neither one of the guys seemed absolutely fine. And if they know how their bodies feel,
right?
Their minds are obviously into it. And strike while the iron's hot. I mean, like, some of these smaller weight classes, they get thrown on the spotlight, and everybody's always like, oh, why are we seeing this now? And then they go away, and everybody forgets. And then they come back up, and everybody's like, why are we seeing this now?
That's right.
They just did it. Everybody got through that. Now just let's quickly spin it back around while something's going on.
I think so too,
man. And I mean, especially when you look at the rest of this card, there's some good fights, but there's nothing that, I mean, to put it as the main event and to try to throw.
Not of a pay-per-view.
Not on a pay-per-view. I mean, that's it.
Tony Ferguson, Charles Oliveira, great
awesome fight.
Great fight.
But yeah, it's tough to put that as a pay-per-view. And it's tough now. Well, the UFC sort of shot themselves in the foot years ago where it was like they established this thing where it was like, pay-per-views had to be like a title or two titles. For a while
right.
there, it was like two titles. And then it's like, dude, what are you going to do when you don't have a title? Everybody's going to say, that was a shitty pay-per-view. They didn't
right.
even have a title. You know, I get what they were trying to do. And maybe at the time it made sense. You know, who knows what was going on in the background of what they needed financially. Maybe they're like, dude, we really need to get an influx. Let's really go hard with this one. And maybe now they're like, okay, we're a little bit better. We're going to get the fiscal year's done. You know, we get to start over again. We get a little bit more money from these guys. You know
what's funny is I wonder if had this, and I do feel like this Figueiredo Moreno fight kind of fell in their laps. I mean, the circumstances worked out perfect. If it hadn't, I wonder if they'd have gone to Ferguson and Oliveira and said, you know what? We need to make this for an interim title. I mean, we don't know what Habib's going to do yet.
I think they would have definitely
did it. I think they would have done it too, man. Which,
without a doubt.
Which is silly to me because if you're going to do an interim, if anything, I think the better long-term play would be able to do it with Conor McGregor and Dustin Poirier in January. But I think they would have felt like they were in such a spot that they needed to do something right away.
Because they've established that they need to have a belt. You know, they feel that they won't get anybody buying it. And with good reason, because anybody would look at it and say, this is a fight night card.
Mm-hmm.
This is an ESPN Plus card. You know, why do we have to shell out for it? So, it's crazy. I mean, I get it, what they tried to do. I mean, especially with having so many fights throughout the year, they had to have some sort of built-in tiering to make sense as to why somebody
why
would want
to. Why this one's worth $50.
Why this one's worth this much. Why this is worth this, you know. So, but you're right. I mean, unless there is an absolute most dire reason to have an interim belt, just be done with those damn things. They're so confusing and they're so ridiculous. And there's no the fighter literally, especially with a guy like Tony, they're like, we're gonna make you fight for it, but we might just take this right back afterwards.
Right? That's the worst.
It's just there's nothing real about
it. They devalue their own belts by doing that.
I feel so bad. It's so ridiculous because these guys work and fight like it's a title. They want to take it home, put it on the mantle, and say, "Look at this title I got, babe." And then they're like, "Oh well, sorry, we're gonna take that back."
It doesn't mean anything.
You didn't lose it, but we're just gonna take it back. You know.
I tell you what, with Davison Figueroa, the odds maker. I've been a fan of Davison for a long time, man. I said that this guy is somebody you need to pay attention to. By the way, he opened at a -275 earlier this week and has already been bet down even further, or bet up, I should say, to -300. So, I mean, even at that heavy of a favorite, people are still putting money on him. That dude, he's a monster. And Moreno's
a beast. I'm gonna throw some heat craziness out there.
All right.
I bet by the time that gets near the fight, depending on how they see it, I can see that getting upwards up by -1,000. I see him by the time he gets into it, people are going to have Davison as a heavy, heavy favorite.
Dude, I don't want to take away from Moreno because Moreno is dangerous and he's impressed, but you're so right. To me, Figueiredo is, dude, he's got it all, man. He's got power to knock you out. He's got the grappling to submit you, and he's got this little edge about him, man. This little chip on his shoulder,
this power
anger,
is phenomenal.
Man.
It's phenomenal for I hate to say it, like a tiny frame, but for these small frame guys, the power and the quickness that he's able to generate, it's just stunning. I mean, like,
it
you
really
see
is.
what, when you know, he clipped Joe B and dropped Joe B, and then even the last one, you know, he's able to generate this power that it's sick, man. And I love Brandon. Brandon's a good kid, man.
Fun personality,
great
man.
Personality.
Yeah.
But he's the kind of guy that likes. He doesn't mind walking in and taking some punches to trade some of his own.
And I don't know.
But
you
know
about that.
Tit
with
for
this
tat
guy.
On this is not a good benefit.
I agree. I think you know it's funny as you mentioned that. Like you hate saying, you know, small guy or whatever. I think at the post fight press conference, Dana called him a bad little dude. And it's funny. It's funny because it's like. Well, it's true.
He is a bad little dude.
He's a little tiny guy, but he'll tear you up.
Yeah.
He's a bad little dude. All right, so looking forward to that one on December 12th. All right, let's talk about one other thing that's been happening this week. I wanted to ask you.
That is a pretty good card.
Oh, it's good, man. That card and then
Now that I'm staring down, I didn't – Leech is on it. No. JDS is on it.
Dude, December 12th is fun. December 19th, the last one before we take a break, that one's phenomenal.
Let me skip ahead
That's a fight night card that looks like it could be a pay-per-view, so – we've got a couple really good events here at the end of December to wrap things up. And then, of course, we get that three-week break.
Oh, that's the Edwards Chimaev.
Yeah, and it's just got a ton of fights on it, man. Look at all the names on that one. You got Jeff Neal and Stephen Thompson is going to be insane. Then you got Greg Hardy. I know people aren't actually a fan, but anytime Greg Hardy fights, you want to tune in.
Font Marais
is going to be nice. Aldo and Vera.
Awesome.
I mean, dude, Michelle Pajeda and Chaos Williams is just absolutely insane.
Holy shit, that is a pay-per-view worthy card.
I'm telling you.
Misha and Span, Aldo and Vera, Pereira and Williams.
I'm telling you right now.
That is a fucking pay-per-view right there.
I agree. I think you could sell that. We're talking about the December 19th event, which I think is going to be on ESPN Plus.
If there was ever a card that had to be a pay-per-view that doesn't have a belt, this is a pretty.
That's what I'm
this
saying,
is a
right?
Pretty
like, there's enough
good
on there.
Card. This is a pretty damn good card. Wow. See, that's the thing. So, just slightly before this, they want you to reach in and pay $70 for a good card, for a decent card. It's a decent card. This is a great card.
It's a great card.
This is a great card for free. Well, is it on ESPN Plus?
I think it's on ESPN Plus.
So, all right, so slightly free.
$5 a month, yeah.
So, you know, behind
you're getting
the slight
your money.
Bible,
if you pay for ESPN Plus, you're getting your
worth.
Money.
Holy shit, that is a good card. Yeah. That's the crazy thing. Like, these things come so fast and furious, I can't even keep track. And, you know, granted, this year's, like, boggled my mind for other reasons. But when you look at cards like this, I'm pleasantly surprised because as I look down it, I'm immediately enticed to want to watch this.
Oh, yeah.
And that happens quite a bit. They do a pretty good job. Every once in a while, they'll pull one out that top to bottom should be absolute gangbusters. And this is one of those ones, man. I'm stoked. And that's the end of the year card.
That's the last card.
That's a baller card.
It's a great way to finish off.
That
man.
Is a baller card. Is that
now,
here at the Apex?
What may make you less excited to know is that I'll be doing CFFC that week. So you'll be rolling a lot of solo that week.
Yeah, well, boo. and the craziest thing, they'll do like last week where it was like 16 people on the media day. I was like, why?
Dude, that was crazy.
They just they're doing an event this week.
It's six people.
Six people.
Well.
Six people.
We'll talk about this week's card in just a moment and
but
explain
still,
why there might only have been six people there.
I mean, and that's the crazy thing because I look at this card on the what is it, on the 19th.
You kind of want 16 people in there. You could.
Unless you got to watch 16 of them and then end it 16
unless you're the
ones.
One recording 16 virtual media day interviews, in which
it
case.
It is literally the worst day of my life.
Virtual media days have become, the absolute worst days of work.
That's
possible.
My waterboarding days where it's like, oh, okay, let me clock in. All right. Where's the water? Let me lay down. Waterboard, begin.
Oh, it's so not fun. I appreciate all your help when doing them, even when you're not
so
working.
Brutal.
We help each other even on our vacation days behind the scenes. That's kind of relationships we have. All right, so one other thing before we talk about this week's card, I did want to ask you about Anderson Silva. I don't want to say that I told you so, but I feel like as I was kind of talking through this, and I believe it may have been on the NAF episode over at patreon.com/the NBA Roadshow, but I kind of alluded to the fact that I didn't think this was a great idea for Anderson. You know what I mean? That I didn't think that anybody out there was going to be able to pay him even remotely close to what the UFC paid him behind the scenes, and therefore, what was the point of competing in? I still think he might box Roy Jones Jr. But basically, every major promotion has come out in the past week or so and said,
nah,
we're not interested.
But I just,
and it's I feel sad seeing that, man. What is what a sad ending. To I mean, as if the losses at the end of the career weren't enough to kind of make you – I mean, because we don't – and I hate it. Anderson does not come into the greatest of all time talks anymore. His name just doesn't even really get brought up that much. And there was a time where he
does
was –
does he come up in the greatest of a time?
Greatest of a time, exactly. He was the greatest of a time. He was definitely the greatest of a time. Trademark cold coffee, and it just doesn't come.
That.
It just doesn't come up anymore. And I don't know.
You're
now,
right.
Now hearing that, you know, one doesn't want him, PFL doesn't want him, Bellator doesn't want him. The hell's
well, one they're
go?
Well, one they're doing him a favor.
Yeah,
because especially some of the beasts that are in one, we've seen guys that are in their prime going over there and getting starched by these dudes in one. And Bellator probably doesn't have the money to throw that that he's asking, and he deserves every bit of the money,
sure,
as well.
He's
I mean,
a legend.
He deserves it. So, but again, you know, it's hard to watch these guys that you respect take hard losses. I want them to be able to make a living. I want them to be able to do whatever. I wish one of these guys would just buck up and see how well he could do on some sort of commentary, even just an interviewing role, throw him a bone of some sorts.
Right.
Even if it's a fighter development, which the UFC, when they used to have money pouring out of their every pocket, they'd have these guys be their development guys, like Minotauro.
Yeah.
You know, he went and is a huge beacon to these upcoming MMA guys in Brazil, and I think he still is.
Still is.
So he's very well respected, but he's helping to just sort of nurture the MMA community there,
yep,
and keeps bringing these guys up.
Ambassador to the public, but also like coaching the Brazilian,
yeah,
guys. And not coaching in terms of like technique, but just, you know, what to expect,
yeah,
and how to act, and what, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Kind of being like a mentor, I guess.
A mentor. And I wonder if Anderson could be that. I mean,
Mentor Taro.
well done. I think that Anderson could, but I wonder if it's different with in the sense of And I don't want this might come out weird, how they carried themselves, how Big Nog carried himself amongst the people, whereas he was always loved and adored, but I feel like he was always felt like he was a part of,
sure,
the people, whereas,
sure,
Anderson was loved and adored, but Anderson,
well, he
was
on
always
that
like
platform, right?
He was on the platform.
Guy.
These were my fans.
He was the rock star.
Yeah, he was the rock star, but never part of the guys helping, you know, build the stage.
Fair point as well.
And so I feel like in that sense, I wonder if he would be as embraced as a mentor, because it's such a big step back or
right,
down,
right,
that I wonder if he would even want to do it. But I would love to find
just
some
sure,
way
like,
to
like,
keep him in.
Like
in
Michael Jordan hasn't necessarily turned out to be the greatest executive either,
yeah,
of his time, right? I mean,
right,
maybe the roles don't fit when you're a little bit different, you know? So
right,
it's a good point as well, man.
Not everybody could be a Minotaur. Not everybody could be Forrest. Forrest is an absolute – he's just an amazing individual when it comes to how he was able to transition – again, into sort of another career,
yep,
in a sense, after
where he
fight
is universally loved.
Everybody loves him, and he's respected because he's done his time in the cage. But he also, when he switched roles and started really taking on the PI stuff and help building and nurturing athletes to be able to sort of build themselves, get the care and the training that they need, he's went and switched into this role, and it's a totally different Forrest.
Mm-hmm.
I think if somebody met him off the street and didn't know his background, would just think, wow, this guy is a great businessman.
You're
you know,
right,
he,
about
like
that,
his head's straight on. I really dig what his thing is. And then somebody's going to have beers with that guy later on. Did you realize that, you know, the guy that you were just
so
chatting,
true, man.
He used to beat the fuck out of dudes.
Involved in every level of it,
yeah,
man. He's great at it. It's not like he's just walking around on his laurels that he built as a fighter. Like, hey, by the way, I was the guy that helped save the
right
sport. You know, I was the former champ. All
right.
That. He doesn't – it's not that. He's in there grinding.
Right. And I would like to see Anderson get those sort of opportunities, but you never know. I mean, the language barrier is always going to be something. He can speak – he speaks more English than he lets out, but when he does get caught up sometimes you know, he'll lean back on,
yeah,
to the, you know, Portuguese and other stuff. So maybe that makes it harder to switch into some of these other commentary sort of roles. But, you know, it's just, it's sad in the sense that I don't want to see him go out there and, you know, take crazy one-sided beatings just for my amusement. Because at that point, I'm not entertained with it at all. But I want the man to be able to find, you know, some sort of something. And
what are you going to find in, like, one-off shows? That's the thing that bothers,
yeah,
me, too. Like, You surf, first of all, you don't want to see
even at BKFC. I mean, like that's a it's a brutal, brutal sport. He might be able to get a nice one chance paycheck, but it's just brutal.
But I don't want it to be either A, a random scrub, or B, some young hungry killer. You know what I mean? That's just gonna absolutely maul him.
Who's still got a full chin that hasn't taken the years and years of damage.
So you got to match him up with people. I mean, the idea of like him and Vitor having a rematch and one, like that would have been kind of amazing, you know. But I don't think they
have watched that.
I don't think they have the money to pull it off, man. I mean, the pandemic's hit them too, but they're struggling. You know what I mean? They're trying to make things work, and I said it from the beginning. I don't think people are going to be able to afford what Anderson Silva wants to make and needs to make to compete.
Yeah,
and I just don't see where he's going to end up. So I hope it's a boxing match with Roy Jones. I was going to wait to the end to talk about this, but let's. Mike Tyson versus Roy Jones. I want to read this. This was from BoxingJunkie.com, which we need to. Hopefully this year maybe we can work to have a little bit more synergy with them, man. It's just like they kind of exist. We don't really work together, but I thought this was amazing. It was a little guide that you're kind of your everything you need to know about it, right? This is from BoxingJunkie.com. I should have written down the author's name. I apologize. You should fork over the $50 pay-per-view fee if you think you'll enjoy a trip down memory lane and want to support the charity or charities that will benefit from the exhibition. You shouldn't watch if you want to see a real fight. That's not what this is. This is a glorified sparring session between two old men by boxing standards who are shells of what they once were. The exhibition will be contested over 8 2-minute rounds and with 12-ounce gloves, which is meant to soften whatever blows they land. And don't look for a knockout. California officials have asked the participants to refrain from throwing bombs. The last thing anyone wants to see is either of them get seriously hurt. Now, we'll take a little bit of difference to this. There's no way Mike Tyson is going out there and going, well, you know, California asked me not to throw too hard, so I'm not going to throw hard.
Yeah.
Mike Tyson's going out there looking to throw bombs. Sorry. Yeah. They're just not going to change that. But I want to ask you about this and find out where your level of interest is, because it's interesting, right? Kevin Ioli, of course, is going to go cover the card. I was talking to him this past week when him and I were working at the UFC event together. Our good friend Oscar Willis from the Mac Life is going as well. I know you've had some conversations with him. I've talked to him as well. Behind the scenes, everybody's saying it's an absolute damn nightmare. No organization, difficult communication.
Haven't got like a normal media week schedule. Like, they don't even know what they're really even doing.
Like, as of today, bro, as of Thanksgiving, they're both heading down to Los Angeles and really don't even know what they're going to get to cover. Don't know if they're going to be allowed into the arena. Don't know if they're going to be allowed at the weigh-ins. They're going to cover this thing and don't even know, which is bizarre to me. I mean, this whole thing is about PR, and it started. Now it's on pay-per-view, and again, $50, it's a pretty steep pay-per-view. It started as, you know, supposed to be raising awareness for the social media platform Triller, I think is how this thing originally started, and then it kind of took on more of a life of its own. But it's just being handled piss poor at every step of the way, and that just makes me think that, granted, we're talking about two of the most experienced professionals, you know, our era has seen. But, I mean, what is the presentation of the broadcast going to look like? What's the fight going to look like? Are there dressing rooms going to be done properly? Are they going to have the things that they need? You know what I mean? So I'm so weird by this because, listen.
You got to tape your own hands and get no corners.
I'm telling you, who knows what's going to – because I will say to you, I'm going to be honest with you. I am intrigued by Mike Tyson competing again. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I'm just as guilty as anybody else. Those training footages come out, or like, you know, just those little things where, like, you know, he's showing Ngannou how to slip to the body, and you see like his speed and what he still has at his age. I'm interested by it, but dude, I don't know if I'm gonna shell out $50 for it. I mean, I don't know what we're gonna do on fight night. If I'm gonna even try to watch it, I'm intrigued by it, but I'm also afraid it's going to be, for lack of a better word, just an absolute shit show.
A crazy shit show. I mean, I would like to tune in knowing that if Tyson does what I would expect Tyson to do, like, Tyson's not going to spar. He's not going to – he's not just going to throw light jabs. I mean, his jabs are going to be what most people would be, like, 110%.
Yeah.
He might call that his 50%, you know.
Right.
What do we know? I mean, the guy was the at one point in time the most dangerous man in the world.
I promise, I'm going light.
That is my light shot. I mean, like, and I think Roy expects that as well. So I think, if anything, it's probably going to be sort of laughable because these guys are going to go from 50 to 80 to 90% really quick.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just going to be a matter of the ref nonstop trying to step in there and separate them to slow them down. But at some point, the ref's going to be like, I'm not going to put my head in front of that. To separate these two. And so I think we'll probably get some nice little clean moments, but I have every thought that Tyson's going to go there and try to knock him out.
I do too. And the 2 minute rounds, I like. It, you know what? It is funny. It does remind me. I mentioned Vitor Belfort's name earlier. I mean, I know he caught some grief for it or whatever, but Vitor's been talking about this for a while. Like, hey, can't we have like a Legends division where, you know, instead of 5 minute rounds in MMA, we do 3 minute rounds, and maybe instead of, you know, or 4 minute rounds, you know, and instead of 1 minute between rounds, maybe there's 2 minutes between rounds. They have a little more time to recover. Maybe the gloves, you know, kind of taking it back to almost like the amateur levels a little bit, you know, where you add little degrees of safety as they're building up to the highest level. Well, maybe you got something for them on the other side as well, because listen, and maybe it's again kind of joking, showing our age and that sort of thing. The same people that probably don't know who Barry Sanders is, maybe they don't care about what. But to me, maybe, because I do think, like, when I was in my 20s, if you'd have told me about some 50-year-old boxer that was going to be in an exhibition, I'd be like, what the hell are you talking about, dude? Like,
who cares?
What is wrong with you? But now I'm like, yeah, there is a part of me that does want to see 54-year-old Tyson go
at it. I was saying, at least this. At least because it's Tyson. I mean, like,
I don't know if I want to see, like, a whole division of it.
Yeah.
Like, everybody come
like,
back.
Hey, here's this card where it's 54-year-olds and 56ers are going. But, like, so I can see where in this sort of time, you know, between these, it's like I'll bend the rules. Same thing when you watch, like, some of your favorite old fighters come back. Everybody's like, oh, should we even watch? And it's like, I love this person so much. I feel like I have to watch them,
right. You
know. So on this, I would. And you wonder if, you know, it's funny, you were – giving me the mental image of, you know, in between rounds, they're coming in, they're starting to put the nose swell on, they're fucking shooting them up with some TRT straight into the nuts right in between rounds.
And just, like, bro, let's let it all go, baby. Let's let it all go. The Legends Division, you get to do anything. Like, drug testing, yeah, we do drug testing. You have to be on drugs.
You have to be.
Like,
if you want, you can forego water, and we'll just give you a line of coke right before you go back in.
Like, he failed his USADA test. What happened? He was clean, though. They won't let him fight. He didn't have high enough levels of synthetic testosterone in him. That's great. Yeah, it was you're talking about that. I'm thinking, too, like, you know, normally we're talking about, hey, man, the 55 division is stacked, and you're talking about 155 lightweights. What if we were talking about, like, no, it's the 55 and olders. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I love the 55 division. It's stacked, you know?
Stacked,
it would be pretty wild. You're right. I don't want to see it. And I think maybe that's what – I mean, I know Vitor's thing got kind of trashed because people like to trash Vitor, but there is some interest in some of these names, you know?
But they would have to be legends.
They'd have to be real,
like,
legends.
Because when he's like – I mean, I get it when he was calling it, like, the legends, but it does leave that sort of leeway – where it's like somebody's like, how do I fill a division? How do I even fill a card?
Right.
You know, if somebody's like, hey, all right, I'm going to take Vitor by his wear, you know, and I'm going to put him up against, you know, Anderson. That's going to be the headline. Okay, who's the co-main?
Yeah, exactly, right.
Well, is Vanderlei still around? And then who else?
This guy cornered a UFC fight one time, so technically he was in the UFC. He's still got his gear that he can. Yeah, I mean, you need real names, but I don't know. I'm just kind of curious. I'm going to be interested to see how I feel on Saturday night, because I don't feel like that, oh my God, like, I have to see it live. Like, the highlights are going to get out there, and I do want to see it. You know what I mean? Of course, we'll be working at the time, too, so, or at least I will. You're still off for the rest of this week. But so, I mean, that'll make it easier to kind of miss it as well. I am interested. I do want to see it. I want to see how he looks. I want to see Mike Tyson, and it's
course.
Mike Tyson, you know?
Every bit of the training footage that I've seen, he's just scary, man. He's every bit as scary as he always was, man. When he goes in there and works the bag, when he's working mitts, man, he is sharp. I wouldn't have wanted to been hit by him back then, and I still don't want to get hit by that dude.
I know. I think Ioli was saying, you know, smart money is on Roy Jones just because he has competed more recently. It's been too long for Tyson, but Tyson still is a scary man to me. Although I guess technically there is no winner, which is another that was a funny moment at the press conference too, where Dana was like, "What? There's no winner. You can't." Pretty good. Yeah. All right. Let's talk about what's happening in the UFC this weekend. Man, I mean, Thanksgiving holiday, Thanksgiving weekend. This is the first weekend in a long time we've had one show, man. There's not a Bellator this week. There's not a one championship. There's not a regional level. Stuff on Fight Pass. No, it's UFC on ESPN 18, Blades versus Lewis. And, you know, we bragged about those cards in December. This card is not that. And I'm just being upfront and honest. I mean, it's one of those cards that, hey, if you're home on Saturday night and you want to watch some fights, it's going to be on. Not a whole lot of stuff on here of major consequence, although the heavyweight main event, real consequence here. I mean, the winner could be talking about a title shot, like he should be talking about a title shot, should be in line for the winner of Stipe Miocic and Francis Ngannou, which is supposed to happen in the spring. But I got to say, and you and I are unapologetic Derek Lewis homers. You know, have been a fan of his career, have been a fan of the person, have been a fan of the fights. He's a good dude. He's always been good to us. But I do not like this matchup for Derek Lewis, man. To me, this is the worst matchup in the division for him. And the fact that Curtis Blaydes, and I talked to Curtis, I did a phoner with him earlier this week. And, you know, he doesn't love doing media.
This one was pretty funny.
He doesn't love doing media at all. But we had a decent conversation on the phone. And okay, but I love the fact that he is unapologetic about what he does, where he's just like, look, man, I don't care. You know, like, I'm going to take him down, beat him up, and if he lasts, I'm going to rinse and repeat. You know what I mean? I'm just going to we'll do it again the next round. I'm going to take him down. And he said, listen, I'm not very high on Derek Lewis's skills. You know, he's predictable. He throws the big right hand, and not only does he throw the big right hand, but when he does – he squares up his stance because his rear leg comes through because he's throwing so heavy. He's like, that's an absolute mistake against a wrestler like me.
Yep.
And he also said, and I think it's a fair point too, where, you know, I'm like, well, what about that thing where Derek Lewis just stands up? I'm like, can he do that to you, or would that be like a major mistake? He's like, the fact that people say that is ridiculous. Like, yeah, he just stands up, but not against a grappler like me. He's like, he does that to me. Like, A, he's not going to be able to, and B, if so, he's going to expose his back. I'm going to take advantage of him there. You know, he's like, And Curtis is funny. He's like, you know, the people he's doing it to, he's like, Ilir Latifi is not good, you know, and just like, he's like, Blagoy Yuvanov is not good. He's just laying people out, just like, that dude's not good.
Yeah.
Curtis does not care. And it's so funny because I like Curtis a lot too. I mean, yeah. You know, he's got that stutter. And so I know that's part of the reason that he's not, you know, necessarily always comfortable just talking, you know.
Yeah,
but he doesn't want to play the media game regardless. Yeah. So anyway.
He's kind of short to the point with that, you know. It's like, why dilly dally, and yeah, let me just get straight to the point. I'm gonna say, and then let's move on,
which, as long as you know, as long as you know to expect.
Sometimes,
dude,
I'm just like, speak up.
The virtual media day, both these guys, I had to like boost their audio for the virtual media day. It was so bad. But yeah, so that's why. So this fight is meaningful, but as you said, both guys aren't really trash talkers, although they are kind of laying it out there, but they're not big boisterous. They kind of just whatever. And so this doesn't have a lot of hype going into it, and I'll be honest, man, I think this is Curtis Blaydes all day, man, and I hate to say that because I love Beast, and he, of course, he's capable of knocking anybody out, but I just think Blaydes' grappling is going to be too much.
That's it. I mean, his grappling is – and Derek's worked on trying to, you know – sort of fix that sort of thing, but it's the difference of a guy that was just sort of came up with wrestling and another guy that's worked on wrestling because that's what his sport demands.
Right.
I mean, it's a big difference in terms of the skill, and Curtis is so good at being able to get guys, you know, even in trips, you know, if they get in there a clinch, which I know if there's any times where Derek might get in danger grab up, you know, he's going to grab him, and Curtis is going to work some sort of a trip out of there. But it's tough, you know, because I love Derek. I love his coach. I actually was sending a text to his coach, Bob, because I was like, I know you guys got the whole quarantine thing. I was like, but I'm making early Thanksgiving if you guys want to come. And, and Bob's like, oh, it's probably going to be pizza for me. I was like, okay, well, I'll send you pics. I was sending them pics of my Thanksgiving meal or whatever. But yeah, I mean, so I'll always be a homer for that dude. I love that dude. I love his team, just good people. But in terms of this, so I did pick Derek, but I picked it knowing that more than likely this is a tough uphill battle. Just because Curtis does have power, he has pretty good head movement, you know, and his wrestling just sick. Maybe this will be one of those perfect fights where one of these spinning attacks that Derek likes to throw out there will bear some fruit, because Curtis is like, this guy's got nothing that can touch me, and hey, what's that spinning back fist? Oh, and then he's on top, you know, and you know, Derek's back has improved, but that's the sort of thing that you know, I don't think it will ever fully go away.
Right.
And this is the kind of fight that could kind of, you know, strain that a bit and really kind of make it tough really quickly. But I hope the best. And I like Curtis too. I mean, but of course I'm hoping Derek gets a knockout.
Derek is great, man. Because you know, if Derek wins, it's going to be something spectacular. And then you know he's going to say something funny. And then you know what I mean? Like, the whole package.
Yeah, the media day, he kept saying some shit. And, like, the reporters never really bit so much. They were, like, so, like, sort of focused on what their next question. Because it was almost like that was the first time that Derek's ever, like, cut off their questions and said some bullshit stuff.
Right.
So, like, when the one guy was from, like, Colombia or whatever or something, Derek's like, you know, he's like, you on that cocaine or something?
Yeah, he's like, oh, they all coked up.
They all coked up or something. And then the other guy calls. He's like, unlike my whatever, I'm from Argentina. He's like, I'm not on the coke or what. I'm not on the cocaine. And Derek's like, yeah, you heard it too, right? You know? And then that dude starts playing along. And what did Derek say? People said something about the corona and how it was tough. And he's like, I don't even know if it's that. It might be this new 5G. You ever think about that?
He did say the 5G is getting everybody sick.
Like, nobody was, like, biting. And then I'm just like, poor Derek being Derek. It's like, he'll sort of, like, smile and, like, chuckle to himself. And then he kind of, like, was just, like, looking off camera, like, oh, they didn't get it. They didn't get it. Whereas, like, if the reporter actually engaged and laughed, he lights back up. And
he
then
does.
He gives
and
more.
And then he'll go into it.
And that's the thing that sucked, not with these, like, virtual things as opposed to in person. The whole back and forth banter, the fun part that can actually happen in an interview, especially with a guy like Derek, who is just, he's like, I sit in a fucking hotel room. All we're doing this whole week is nonstop work. Give him a moment of just a break to just be a guy laughing and joking about some BS. So he loves media days and loves doing that sort of stuff. I mean, I can't think of any time that we've ever interviewed Derek in the UFC that he hasn't at one time in a media day said some random ass bullshit.
Absolutely.
Every time.
Absolutely. So and it'll catch you off guard.
Yeah,
and
you're
you gotta
like,
be ready
what?
For it. Yeah.
You know, so to think that, you know, that would stop from a media day, it's not going to stop. But what sucks is that he doesn't get the payoff as well, because most people that are calling in aren't either getting the humor or they're not, even if they might chuckle, it's not the same. So
right.
I feel bad for him, because this is part of the break. They have to jump through these hurdles. They have to do all these sort of things. You want them to kind of be able to have a little fun as well, if they're trying to have fun, because I would rather him still have fun and do this instead of just be complete 100% serious Derek, because then it wouldn't be as fun.
I agree.
You know?
It's good. It's got the potential to be a long night for him. If he wins, it'll be fun. Curtis Blaydes, by the way, he said, if I win, I'm waiting for the winner of the title fight. No question about it. I'll sit around waiting as long as I have to. Like, I know that there's nobody else for me at that point. Derek believes if he wins, he deserves a title fight as well, and there's an argument to be made for that. Certainly, he's been around, and he's a marketable guy, so we'll see. So I do think there are potential number one contender stakes here. But a fight that I don't think a lot of people are super.
Depends on what Izzy's doing. He might just take that light heavy and just
straight up to heavy, too.
Just straight up.
You
just
never
jump
know.
Up there.
Devin Clark and Anthony Smith, kind of a crossroads fights for both of those guys. Anthony Smith says, you know, he's refocused again and, you know, kind of cut out all the extra stuff he was doing in his life outside of, you know, just fight prep and getting ready for fights and focusing 100% on that. And he's like, look, he's got something to prove. Meanwhile, Devin Clark, you know, kind of believes he's been kind of at that, I don't want to say, you know, middle level, but yeah, kind of that middle level for a while, and he's been in the game.
Yeah, people have been overlooking him. They just kind of skip through and don't give him the mind that he deserves.
He believes he deserves to be in that top contender. And he knows it's not that, you know, he hasn't earned it, but he believes this is an opportunity to earn that and to really start taking a step up to that next level. Outside of that, I'll say I think Miguel Baez and Takashi Sato should be a fun fight. Miguel Baez is a very, very talented prospect. It looks like he's the real deal. Meanwhile, Sato, man, when he's on point,
he's
super tough. And a little CFFC alum and Bill Algio going against Spike Carlisle, who, of course, the alpha ginger, Spike Carlisle, one of the most interesting characters in the game today. There's no question about it.
Crazy.
And then it was wild. Like you, so down on the prelims, not a lot of huge fights on the prelims, but it was funny because Gina Mazzani and Rachel Ostovich were two of the six that were featured at the media day. I will say Mazzani at 125 is intriguing, man. She looked very, very lean, very, very healthy in this move down. So assuming she makes weight, it'll be interesting to see if she's got more power in that division. Meanwhile, Rachel Ostovich, you know, she knows. She straight up said, she's like, this could be my last fight. I realize my backup is against the wall here, and I have to win. You know, she's coming back from a suspension. Tainted supplements, important to say. You know, not certainly she stands against cheating, but nonetheless, it was a suspension, and she's had a rough go in the UFC. And she said, "Look, I've got to win this fight, or it could be my last in the UFC." So, you know, this card, I didn't want to spend the whole time talking about it because there's just not a whole lot of, like, you know, fights that are real, real meaningful. I think that's going to change over the next couple weeks. We've got some really good cards lined up. This, yeah, to me, is just kind of, you know, a little Saturday night something. You know, normally, this is the way my Thanksgiving weekends go. Thursday, cooking, watching football, getting your grub on, you know. Mm-hmm. Friday, mm-hmm. Now we don't – Friday's not really the Black Friday thing like it used to be. You know what I mean? People aren't rushing out to the stores and all that with COVID and things the way they are. So
everything's just as cheap online.
It's just as
and
cheap
the Black
online.
Friday started like a week early. Exactly. Like, it's so ridiculous. It's not the same.
It's better now, though. It's better now.
I absolutely hated going to a store on a Black Friday.
I will say, yeah, it's the
worst shopping experience ever.
It's not no matter what the deal that you're going to get is.
Yeah,
it's worth it to pay more to not have to deal with that shopping.
Yeah,
experience.
You literally feel like humanity has died a bit when you go out. So it's like, no, thank you.
Nah, I'm good.
I'll stay home.
So then normally by about Saturday, you're like, you know, what's going on? Are there any games on? Is there any something to watch? What's happening? I think you just throw on a little UFC. Put up. This is some background stuff. Maybe you're getting your tree set up. You know, a lot of people set up their Christmas tree the weekend after Thanksgiving. Well, what do you say?
You have a little one, don't you?
You guys, the Morgan family.
So does the wife?
The Morgan family does indeed have a tree that is set up that I do not normally participate much in. And my wife knows that I'm kind of a cranky bah humbug. So she's like, look, stay out of my way.
Yeah.
Just stay out of my way. I want to decorate. I'm going to decorate. Don't bother me. And yeah. I'm like, all right, honey. I was like, I appreciate you understanding me. I will stay out of your way. Yeah. I'm going to go over here and get a little bit of daddy's medicine and just sit off to the side. And
just watch.
You put that tree up, honey.
Let me know when you need me to put that little the star or whatever on the top.
She goes at it, though, man. I will say last year she did a Harry Potter-themed tree because my kids really into Harry Potter. So she, like, ordered some ornaments that are available, made some ornaments, did, like, a – put, like, a – You read Harry Potter or watched Harry Potter, right? Yeah. So, like, the top was, like, the hat. What do they call it? The hat that tells you what you are.
Sorting
whatever.
Hat.
The sorting hat. Yeah, we actually bought a sorting hat. Like, they have, like, a sorting hat toy. It's, like, that talks and stuff.
That
but
makes
we put
sense.
that up at the top. Yeah, it's perfectly shaped for a topper. And, you know, she made all these. She got, like, some ribbon that had, like, some writing on it from the show or whatever. So, yeah, she goes all out. She's good about that stuff. And
what Harry Potter house would you have been? Test your Harry Potter knowledge.
Okay. Now,
there's two big main
Hogwarts
ones.
Hogwarts is the school.
The school.
The Hogwarts is a school. I know Slytherin is the bad one.
Slytherin
is the bad one.
I'm guessing that you can guess
hold
the
on,
one
hold
other
on, hold
one.
Hold on, hold on, hold on. Slytherin is the bad one.
I know you could guess what Harry was.
Oh, shit. I should know this. My kid loves it.
I can give you a clue. How about I give you what it starts with? It starts with a G.
Gryffindor.
Yes.
Gryffindor. I got it. Gryffindor.
There's like others. There's like Hufflepuff.
Hufflepuff. Oh no!
The other ones were just the lame ones.
Scrubs.
They were the super scrubs.
Scrubs.
But yeah, most people would say, "Oh, I'm Slytherin or I'm Gryffindor or whatever."
There's a PS5 game that's going to come out. I guess Xbox as well, but they're. It's based around, like, the whole...
No shit?
Yeah, but it's, like, I think it's pre, like, it's in the 1800s or something, but I saw a preview for it, and I haven't shown it to my son, because it's not... It just says 2021 release, so it could be, like, September, October, November, you know what I mean?
But it's
so,
be all different characters?
I think so.
It's that
early. That's what it looked like. It looked like it's, like, just the world. It's not necessarily just Harry Potter. Like, it's, like, the whole world or whatever.
Interesting.
But I know he's going to love that.
Do you have a PS5?
I got one on the way, bro.
I know that everybody for a while was, like, freaking out because they had...
Well, they're hard to get, but my I actually – shout out to my dad. Shout out to my 75-year-old dad who celebrated his birthday last week. Just sheer luck in the middle of the night, man. I got up. I couldn't sleep. It was after last week's card, actually. And I ordered – like, I was searching online, and it showed on Best Buy that there was, like, stock. But there was no stock here, and I was like, well, I wonder if there's anything in Dallas. Like, Dallas is a bigger town. They got to have more units. And sure enough, they had a unit available in Waxahachie, Texas, where my dad lives. So my dad actually went on Wednesday and picked it up from Best Buy.
Wow.
And is shipping out to Vegas.
A lot of kids in Waxahachie playing the PS5?
Guess not. He even said, like, when he went to the store.
Go to Waxahachie.
Go to Waxahachie, Texas.
Get your PS5.
They said, he said even the guy in the store was like, I can't believe. He's like, I haven't even seen one of these, dude. He's like, it's crazy. He's like, I hope your son knows how lucky he is. I'm like, well, your son's 42 years old, and your son is also well aware, because I was refreshing online.
How did the guy not
online.
Really know that it was there? So it was just like one of those.
Yeah,
like, it
yeah.
just happened to, like, yep. pop in. Wow.
It's crazy, man. So
some dude is in the back, like, scanning things, and as soon as he scans, like, somebody's ordered
it. Oh, 100%.
Just, like, going,
that's exactly what's
you
happening.
You got it right
Dick
after
sold.
He scanned
Dick
it.
Sold. Yep, exactly, man. So, so I'm looking forward to playing some video games. I don't play a lot of video games, but I'm a tech dork like anybody. I like to see the next generation of stuff,
yep.
and to sit down and play with my kid, man. It's gonna be, he likes to play PS4 and stuff, but the games are old, and I've been playing, like, I'm not a huge gamer.
Yeah.
But, like, being able to see the new one, and, like, well, I think I'll enjoy
sick.
Playing with them, you know. I think
yeah, that's what I was talking to Abby, our famed editor here for Junkie, and he was playing Call of Duty the other day, but some of those games have, like, extra games, so he was playing the zombie portion of the Call of Duty, and I hadn't seen the new Call of Duty. He said it was really good, so I was going to give that a look-see, and then Oscar said he was playing Assassin's Creed, the
right.
new Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
But that's supposed to be a good one as well.
The Valhalla one.
Valhalla, yeah.
Yeah,
like, those
cool.
games are fun. I mean, like, it's like one of those ones, you fetch find a good one, man. Like, it's easy just to get caught up, and next thing you
know, you're
Red
Dead,
like,
for hours. I played Red Dead for hours.
And hours.
I'm sure when they port that over, I'll buy that.
Yeah, when you snap out of it, and you're like, it's 3 in the morning, you're like, oh God!
It's so
ridiculous.
True. I had that happen a couple
then
times.
Like, I
was like,
need
I have
to
work
to
at 8. What am I doing? It's 3 a.m. I tell you a funny dilemma I have. So I ordered a couple of the launch games, and one of them I ordered was Mortal Kombat, because I was like, a fighting game, you know, check it out. But it's funny. Like, I was watching, I was looking at video online of some of the fatalities that they have.
Yeah.
They are so ridiculously gory, because now that it's like PS5 next gen console
super
stuff,
graphics.
Like, it's insane. I'm like, can I show this to my 8-year-old kid? I'm like, he knows it's not real, and it's kind of cartoonish, but
yeah.
it's kind of not. Like, one, like, because Rambo is in there, like Sylvester Stallone Rambo is in there.
Oh, geez.
And he, like, slices a dude's neck with his big machete and, like, rips his throat out. And it's
yeah.
like, it just, I mean, it's
wow.
just. Because
even in some of the old ones, yeah, I mean, I remember them, like, ripping guys' spines out
yeah.
and being impaled on
stakes.
But, you
know, when it was, like, Sega Genesis or whatever, you know, it just looked like some toothpicks or something.
Yeah.
Now it, like, looks real.
Now
so,
it's like you can see the heart pulsating.
So I feel kind of bad. Like, I'm not – I guess if I don't show him the fatalities, like, he'll – I mean, I'm sure he'll figure it out. Like, I have to ask him for, like, how to do stuff on the
– Even, like, I remember, like, those were the hardest thing, and people were like, oh, did you get the fatality wheel? I was like, what is the keystrokes? Like, how do I even get it? And you just remember mashing buttons.
Oh, yeah.
When is that the part? And then I would never get it, and I was like, oh, I hear about them, but I never get them.
See, so at least it's not – I mean, on the surface, it's just a fighting game. So we'll see. We got that. Got
yeah.
the
get
NBA
over
game,
here.
So. That was well done.
Such,
I like that.
I love those.
That's old school,
games.
Man. I used to
yeah.
love that.
Oh, my God.
I remember, I was going to say, I remember playing Mortal Kombat when
those.
It came out
oh, yeah.
at my local movie theater, playing it like the
mashing
Liu Kang
like
and Raiden. And
yep.
I mean,
oh, Raiden was like the dopest dude ever.
Yep.
Oh, that's so good.
Scorpion, Sub-Zero.
Yep.
I remember all those, man. God damn, we're getting old, bro.
Super old.
Playing arcades.
Super old. But, you know, going back to this card, this is like one of those. I remember just thinking about it, even though, because now that it's everything that they're calling everything like a fight night, when Dana, I remember when Dana envisioned at one point said about it, the sort of like a 3-tier of events where the pay-per-view was the main one. And then I can't remember if it was UFC on whatever Fight Pass, and then it was like Fox,
right?
And then the main ones would be the
yeah. You'd have like Fox, and you have like Fuel TV.
Fuel,
or,
right?
Yeah.
Like, this would be a Fuel TV card, where it was like, you know, these are the ones that if they have a good showing here, they're going to get put up onto the big Fox cards,
right.
And then if they have a good showing there, then they'll make the pay per view. Like, there's some good fights on this.
I think there's going to be some entertaining fights. Like, I think Baeza and Sato will be great. I do think Aljo and Carlisle will be great as well. I think those will be very, very competitive fights, very, very fun fights. Those jump out at me. Smith and Clark, obviously a meaningful fight there, and I think it has the potential to be good as well. So I'm not saying it's going to be a crappy night of fights.
Yeah.
It's just not one where you go, all right, dude, now this guy's fighting for the title next, and now that guy's doing this, it's, and now this is the fight that has to be
this
made.
This is the one you have to explain when somebody's like, well, who's this? Like, who's fighting? You're like, you always have to, well, nobody really know, but up and coming, you know, and you, it's like, oh, you have to rattle off a past list of who's, and look, this guy's got potential,
You got to have something to watch while you're eating your leftovers.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? You're heating up some cold stuffing, maybe a little bit of mashed potatoes left over, maybe a little turkey that hopefully, you know, didn't get overcooked and it's all dry and nasty.
Yeah. And if it did, just put enough gravy
just
on it.
Just put some gravy on it. That's rehydrate with some gravy.
Oh, speaking of, just because now, fuck it, let's just talk turkey.
Yeah.
Something I'd never seen before, but when in the turkey that I got. So, you know, of course, you get in there, you can pull the neck out, you can pull the gizzards and stuff out, unless you want to cook those off to the side or whatever. I pulled the neck out, and then I pulled this plastic bag out, and I thought, okay, this is a plastic bag that has, like, the gizzards and stuff. It was a long bag. It actually had turkey gravy in it.
Oh.
I don't know when this started. If
they
this
put
is just
your gravy
like,
in
they
there.
Give you some gravy in it, and then it said like, you know, hey, you know, refrigerate this, and then warm it up, and if you want to add drippings, of course you add the motherfucking drippings. But I was like, dude, when did they start doing this? I was like, because they didn't do it the year before when I bought a turkey, so I don't know if it was just this brand or whatever, but it was a trip, dude.
I like that. We usually do turkey around Christmas. Thanksgiving, obviously, my wife is from Mexico. She didn't grow up with Thanksgiving, so. Yeah. We don't really necessarily do the traditional thing on Thanksgiving. We just kind of do whatever. And then Christmas, we always do the turkey. So I'll check that out around Christmas.
Yeah, if they do it, then it must be something new.
Proof that I'm just me and never going to be an adult. Like, every time I pull that neck out, I make a joke that it's the penis every time. My wife just looks at me like,
see the bend on it, honey? That's from overworking it as a youth.
Proof that I will just never, ever, ever grow up.
That's funny.
All right, well, listen, speaking of, we got to go get some cook on, get them ribeyes smoking, put it on the pellet grill. Shout out to my dad. Shout out to my dad, double VIP this week, not only for going to Best Buy and shipping
my
PS5 to me.
Huge, huge bonus.
But also
right there.
For the last time he came visit, dropping off this pellet grill. And I'm telling you right now, I'm going to tell you right now, for anybody that's listening, if you're on the edge or not sure, you've been thinking about buying a pellet grill, do it. I am sold on it, man.
Some are better than others. What's the one that you use? This is not a paid advertisement.
Not a paid advertisement. Pit Boss, I believe, is the brand that he.
Because I've seen some that they're decent.
Yeah,
but, you know, just like with anything, others aren't as good. So, I mean, definitely do your research.
Yeah, I mean, I think Traeger's like the premium brand. Like, that's the – but, dude, this is for a nice little entry-level brand. Yeah. It's bomb, and it's got the thermometer with this, you know, with the probe, so you can pull it off the exact right temperature, and it just regulates the temperature and gives it good flavor, man.
That's good. But just like anything, I mean, even if you can't get the nicer ones, it's all how you work it.
That's right.
You know, so work it and practice, and what a fun thing. I love cooking, man. I love grilling out, man. It's so good.
We're about to throw down.
We're about to throw down.
So hopefully everybody has a great Thanksgiving. We'll be back, or at least I'll be back this weekend after the show is over for and a half over at patreon.com/MMA Roadshow.
I'm going to be drunk at my house watching fights.
Maybe I'll make you do the show. It might be better.
Let me dial in and just. La, 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 la.
That dude sucks.
Well, that's normal.
So hopefully we'll see you then. In the meantime, we'll just say enjoy your Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks for listening. We'll be right back.